Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and today we're taking another look at what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And of course, you need the Bible to understand these things. So we're calling you to read your Bible, to go to the Bible, and I'm calling all Canadians back to the Bible. And today we're looking at they need the Bible to understand what Jesus accomplished at the cross of Calvary. So take a listen to this final thought. The cross is also God's invitation to all sinners who will be saved. The death of Jesus on the cross, hanging with his two arms outstretched, is God's invitation to a perishing world of sinners. That scene is descriptive of God's great heart to save lost souls. God has intervened to defeat the devil. He sent his Son in amazing power to suffer and die in the place of the wicked. The cross calls you now to believe in Jesus' death as God's way of saving your soul and bringing you into a right relationship with God. And we rejoice that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, but it's at the cross of Calvary that we must begin. So the preaching of the cross, which is the core work of every gospel preacher, is to rehearse the story of God sending his Son to die for sinners. It is the story of Jesus becoming a sin-bearer by becoming a curse for sin in his own body. It is the story of God defeating the devil, robbing him of his kingdom so that souls are set free. Listen to this text, to these words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. For thousands of years, the nations of the world have been scattered over the world, perishing in their sin without the gospel that preaches the cross. Missionaries have gone to declare to the millions that Jesus died for them. What wonderful results have come from the old story of Jesus and his love by his death on the cruel cross at Calvary. How many darkened minds have been lifted out of the depths of sin by the wonderful news that Jesus died on the cross to save his people. The preaching of the cross calls every sinner to faith in the work of Christ on that tree. You are to believe that God is reconciled through the payment Jesus offered by his own blood as a sacrifice. You are to believe that the devil was defeated and the chains of slavery are broken. This is the liberating power of the gospel, and it was won at the cross. From the cross, Jesus, with outstretched arms, invites you to be saved. This is why I call you to read the Bible. Until you read the story, you cannot know the victory of Calvary. Until you know the meaning of the cross, you will never know the message of the cross. And so, I give you my Bible challenge to read John's Gospel and then the Book of Romans. John will give you the narrative, the story of the cross. The Book of Romans will give you the meaning. And therefore, go to your Bible and read, searching to know the victory of Christ through his cross. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I want to wish all a blessed Canada Day tomorrow. What a wonderful thing to live in this country, the freedoms, and of course, the liberties in the gospel. Now, last year I gave my testimony and I rehearsed something of what the Lord did for me and how he led me to Canada to preach the gospel. And I thought this would be a very good occasion to air my own testimony, how the Lord saved my soul, gave me the burden to preach, and called me to Canada. So today and tomorrow, I'm going to air my own testimony. The call of God to be saved, the call of God to Canada, and the burden the Lord has given for the work of the gospel in our land. So again, I wish you all a blessed Canada Day, but I trust that it will be a day of blessing in the Lord. Stay tuned for my testimony. Gave me the burden to preach and called me to Canada. So today and tomorrow, I'm going to air my own testimony.
Well, I think tonight that I'm a little bit like David's father, Jesse. And it was saying here that he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man. And I think it's no longer a secret that I am getting old. It's getting harder and harder to keep that secret every day. I hear it in people's prayers, and I hear it when I see grown people with nearly as much gray hair as my own, and they call me Mister. And then I start to get worried. Well, I can hardly believe tonight that when I come to tell my testimony, that I am recounting 46 years since the Lord saved my soul. I can pinpoint it to the 1st of September, 9 p.m., 1974, and I can take you right to the place in my memory. It is ever so vivid in my mind. Now, I take delight this evening to take this opportunity to share this message with you. And it is for the Lord's honor and glory because, well, it is the Lord who undertakes and does it all. But I'd like to give you a little history of a couple of revivals that came to my homeland in Northern Ireland. I had thought about giving you a little bit of the history, why there is a Northern Ireland and a Southern Ireland, a British part of Ireland, and a Republic of Ireland. But I'll let you Google that and do your own research, and you'll see the situation in that country. Tonight, I want to start with a public figure that stands in Victoria Street in the center of the city of Belfast. That is in the north of Ireland. That figure is a statue of Dr. Henry Cook. He was born in the late 1700s. He lived right into the mid 1800s. And in the 1830s, while he was a Presbyterian minister, a preacher at May Street Presbyterian Church in Belfast, he defended the Presbyterian Church against heresy. The heresy of Arianism that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these heretics would hold their meetings up and down the country, and Dr. Henry Cook would attend. He would debate these heretics, and everywhere they went, he went. And the crowds got bigger and bigger. There were meetings where after the debate, when Henry Cook, as he usually did, won the debate astoundingly, the people would take off their shoes and they would clap and they would commend the stand of Dr. Cook. Now, truly, through that man's ministry, the Presbyterian Church was purged from heresy and preserved in the true Reformed faith, the same Westminster Confession of Faith that we subscribe to, the same Westminster Confession of Faith that has stood to the Scottish Presbyterians and indeed Presbyterians around the world. Due to that cleansing, that purging of the church, the purifying of pure doctrine, it pleased God in 1859 to visit the land with revival. And the Presbyterian Church in Ireland was the main vehicle of that revival. The majority of Protestant people in Ireland that time were Presbyterian. There were Anglicans, there were other denominations, and there were various small groups. But the predominant denomination in the land was Presbyterian. And in 1859, God visited in a wonderful, sweeping revival. And the land was changed morally. Not by political means, not by laws and regulations, but by the sheer numbers that were converted from the ways of sin to know the Savior by faith. And truly, the land was changed. And to this day, there is a moral base or a heritage that continues of the power of the gospel in the land. The city of Belfast, the town of Ballymena, Coleraine, Armagh, and many other centers were places where there were thousands in the streets with preachers preaching the word of God during that very special time. Now, you'll know your history that at the same time, God was pleased to visit New York, Scotland, Wales, and other parts of the world with revival. But thank God, he did not pass the north of Ireland by. And then later in the early 1900s, 1920 in particular, there was another outstanding preacher whom God used in revival. His name was W.P. Nicholson. And he preached in churches and various places, and God saved countless people through his ministry. I remember as a young Christian meeting people who were converted through his evangelistic preaching. I may have told you that Harland and Wolff, the shipyard company in Belfast, had to build a new separate building to house all the stolen items that had been returned because many of their workers were converted. They got right with God and they brought back the many things that they had stolen from the shipyard. That demonstrates that it wasn't merely just a fizz, but it was lives changed, and God was wonderfully at work. And again, W.P. Nicholson was a Presbyterian, and he had a church in a place called Bangor, and our church in the city of Bangor has now a church called W.P. Nicholson Memorial Free Presbyterian Church. And it's a legacy of the ministry of that Presbyterian preacher. Now, I tell you that because I have to tell you why the Free Presbyterian Church was born in 1951. And we go back to 1948, to the World Council of Churches. The WCC was a religious movement by an ecumenical mindset to try and unite various religions together, Protestant, Catholics, and others. And if you notice in the name WCC, World Council of Churches, there's one C missing, and that's Christian. And they incorporated what really amounts to syncretism, uniting all willing religions to become one world church. Now that sounds bad in the ears of a Bible reader and believer, because we are warned in the Bible against anything that will give one world system. And we are warned to be apart from such a system. Now, Dr. Paisley, who is the founder of our Free Presbyterian Church, he was born in 1926. He was called as a 20-year-old man to an independent evangelical church in Belfast. And at the age of 20, he was preaching evangelistic campaigns. He was the next Henry Cook. He was the next W.P. Nicholson, and he was invited to preach in many Presbyterian churches, some of them small, some of them very large, until he got an invite in 1951 to the town of Crossgar. And there, the local eldership invited him to come and preach the gospel. But the door was closed. You see, Dr. Ian Paisley had exposed the World Council of Churches. He had declared and written and sought to defend against this wrong movement. And for that, doors were closing. Now, I have to go back a little further to let you see the doctrinal rot that was setting into the Presbyterian Church at least as early as 1927. There was a minister and a teacher in the Bible school in the Belfast College, and his name was Professor J.E. Davey. If you Google that name, you will get all kinds of information about a heresy trial that was brought against that man. There was a young student sitting in his class who wrote the notes of his lectures, and he took them to his uncle, who was a minister, and he shared with him what this professor was teaching. He recognized it as unbelief. It was denying many things that were fundamental to the faith. And so the alarm went up, and a heresy trial was brought against this man, J.E. Davey. Now, I want to read you the five charges that were brought against him. The first charge alleged that Professor Davey denies that God pardoneth all sins. Secondly, he is alleged that Professor Davey taught what is contrary to the Holy Scripture concerning the absolute perfection of the Lord's character. Thirdly, it was alleged that Professor Davey taught is contrary to the Word of God and the Westminster Confession of Faith regarding inspiration, infallibility, and divine authority of the Holy Scriptures. Modernism had come in, and these liberals were teaching that the Bible is not totally the Word of God, but the Bible only contains the Word of God. There are certain parts that are inspired, but there are other parts that are not inspired. Now, once you fall for that, you begin to wonder, well, what page am I on now? Is this inspired? Is it God's Word, or is it just man's writing? And that is unbelief, and it was a charge against Professor Davey. Number four, it was alleged that Professor Davey held and taught what is contrary to the doctrine of sinfulness. In other words, the human heart is not totally depraved. And the fifth one, it was alleged that he taught that the doctrine of the Trinity is not in the Word of God. Now, those were major charges on major doctrines. They were not just little, silly, unimportant matters. They were fundamental doctrines to the faith. And so the church court held a trial, and it turned out that they exonerated him. And instead of dismissing him, he maintained his position in the Bible College. It was upheld as truth, and he was later elevated to moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And so that was 1927, and a generation of men were studying under that man. They learned these heresies, and they now went out into the churches, and the Presbyterian Church in Ireland became apostate. Hence, when the World Council of Churches was formed in 1948, the Presbyterian Church in Ireland was a founding member of that world organization. And so, Dr. Ian Paisley exposed that, And when he went to preach at the invitation of the local church, the presbytery shut him down. He was not allowed to use that church building. So what did he do? In typical manner, if you know the man, well, he led whom would follow him across the street to a little tin hall, a small little iron corrugated building. And there, on the same dates, for the same number of weeks, he preached the gospel night by night, week by week. And God came down, and there were many souls saved. Now the elders of that church, many of whom joined them, they said, "What are we going to do? We can't go back to the church. The door has been closed to the preaching of the gospel. These people have gotten saved. What are we going to do?" And so they decided that they would form a separate congregation. And with Dr. Paisley's own church in Belfast, the Evangelical Independent Presbyterian Church, they formed what became the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster or Northern Ireland. And 1951, March 17, is the birthday of the Free Presbyterian Church. Now I know that is St. Patrick's Day, and St. Patrick is very big with Roman Catholics in Ireland. Nevertheless, the birth of this denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church, was March 17, 1951. Now this church, the Free Presbyterian denomination, well, it would continue to be Presbyterian. It would continue to subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith. It would be gospel preaching. It would be separate from Rome. And it would have nothing to do with the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement. And the gospel church does not seek the unity with false religion, but the gospel church unites God's people around the Bible, the gospel, and the true worship of the Lord Jesus. And so that was the cause. And just as young David said to his brothers, "Is there not a cause?" That's the reason why the Free Presbyterian Church was formed in 1951. Now, I was born in 1956. And when I was 12 years old, I could hear the voice of Dr. Ian Paisley from my home, my farmhouse. And the echo of his voice ricocheted from the gable end of our farmhouse. And about 3 miles away, across a river, there was a gospel tent that seated 1,000 people. And there for 6 weeks, Dr. Paisley preached the gospel. He had been invited by Ernie Monteith, who became an elder in the church, and I asked him to come to Omagh, that little town in the heart of Northern Ireland, and to preach this gospel campaign. And so in Omagh was formed a Free Presbyterian Church. Now, when I was 15, I met a girl at school. I had never gone to those meetings. My family had never gone to those meetings. But I met a girl at school who had been to those meetings. And it was her father who had invited Dr. Paisley to conduct that gospel campaign. And so for 6 weeks, she sat under that preaching. And for 6 weeks, the gospel went forth. Now, that was a casual encounter. Well, maybe when you hear the rest of the story, you will find it wasn't all that casual. But when I was 17 years old, our family met the deepest tragedy of our lifetime. My father was injured in a car accident crossing over a railway line. He and my uncle were together in the vehicle. The train came around something of a blind corner one of those open man situations where the train crosses over. There should have been warnings, there should have been all kinds of things. But the train struck the vehicle, trailed it down the railway tracks hundreds of yards. And 4 days later, my father died of his injuries. As I said, I was 17 years old. Those were the darkest days of my life. I had no answers. I didn't even know the questions. It was a gloomy, gloomy time. We were not Bible readers, although we had Bibles in our home. I was given a Gideon's New Testament when I went to high school at age 11. I read it by times. But I didn't know how to turn to the Bible or find comfort in the gospel or in the Lord. 6 months after my father's passing, my mother attended the Free Presbyterian Church in Omaha, and there she made a profession of faith. I was in the meeting that night, and I remember not going very much for some time, and yet the following, about a year after my father's passing, my mother encouraged me to attend Sunday mornings. We were on the farm, there was always chores to do, and she would be out to make us get things done to be on time. And so we would set out for the church service. As I arrived there, there was no tent now. It was a temporary wooden structure. It would have seated about 150 people. There was a side room for a prayer meeting, but it was quite basic. And I went into that building and sat up to the left, about two-thirds way up. And when I looked across, I saw the organist, and that was the young girl that I met at school earlier. And she winked at me. And 46 years later, she's still at the organ, and I at least get a smile from her. And so that story, well, it really tells itself.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.